Investigators inspect the Japanese manufacturing plant for 787 batteries. The FAA proposes a stronger sterile cockpit rule. And has NASA found a Martian swimming hole? This is Aero News for Tuesday, January 22, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Aviation safety officials from the U.S. and Japan spent time on Monday touring the GS Yuasa factory, where the battery which overheated in an ANA Dreamliner was manufactured. Since that incident and others, all 50 Dreamliners which have been delivered by Boeing have been grounded and deliveries have stopped, though assembly of the airplanes is continuing. Yuasa is cooperating with the investigation, according to the Associated Press. The session Monday included a meeting with company officials and a factory tour, according to the chief airworthiness engineer of the Japanese Civil Aviation Bureau's Aviation Safety Department, Tatsuyuki Shimazu. Shimazu said it has yet to be determined if there is any issue with the manufacture of the Dreamliner batteries. Data from the airplane shows that the battery in the ANA Dreamliner was supplied voltage in excess of its design limits, but it was also determined that a battery which caught fire aboard a JAL Dreamliner at Boston's Logan International Airport was not overcharged. The NTSB indicated there could be issues with the wiring and charging systems for the lithium-ion batteries. The NTSB will meet Tuesday with representatives of Securaplane Technologies, the company which makes those charging systems, at their headquarters in Tucson, Arizona. While the FAA has long had a sterile cockpit rule that prohibits pilots from using personal electronic devices during critical phases of flight, pilots may soon be banned from using their personal tablets, smartphones, and laptops for anything other than flying the plane or safety reasons under a new proposed rule. The more stringent rule, published January 15th in the Federal Register, would prohibit flight crew members in operations under Part 121 from using a personal wireless communications device or laptop computer for personal use while at their duty station on the flight deck while the aircraft is being operated. This rule is intended to ensure that certain non-essential activities do not contribute to the challenge of task management on the flight deck or a loss of situational awareness. The FAA cites as an example an incident in which two pilots were using their personal laptops during cruise flight and lost situational awareness, leading to a 150-mile flyby of their destination. In layman's terms, the FAA doesn't want one or more of the crew playing Angry Birds when they should be flying the aircraft. The rule is open for comments until March the 17th. A NASA spacecraft is providing new evidence of a wet underground environment on Mars that adds to an increasingly complex picture of the red planet's early evolution. The new information comes from researchers analyzing spectrometer data from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which looked down on the floor of McLaughlin Crater. The Martian crater is 57 miles in diameter and 1.4 miles deep. McLaughlin's depth apparently once allowed underground water, which otherwise would have stayed hidden, to flow into the crater's interior. Layered, flat rocks at the bottom of the crater contain carbonate and clay minerals that form in the presence of water. McLaughlin lacks large inflow channels, and small channels originating within the crater wall end near a level that could have marked the surface of a lake. Together, these new observations suggest the formation of the carbonates and clay in a groundwater-fed lake within the closed basin of the crater. Some researchers propose the crater interior catching the water and the underground zone contributing the water could have been wet environments and potential habitats. The findings are published in Sunday's online edition of Nature Geoscience. The FAA on Friday gave its approval to the city of Chicago to transfer Midway Airport to a private management firm, and the city immediately opened the bidding process for a contract. The FAA said in a brief statement that Chicago, quote, can take the next steps to select a private airport operator, end quote. The Associated Press reports that Mayor Rahm Emanuel says he hopes the initial contract will generate enough revenue to retire the airport's approximate $1.4 billion debt to the city. Emanuel said he is seeking a company that will sign a 40-year lease with the city to operate that airport. Midway Airport is 85 years old and saw nearly 20 million passengers last year, according to airport officials. Companies interested in running the airport must have their initial proposals to the city by February 22nd. Airbus is offering airlines new options for configuring the floor space offered by the A321neo. The first new option consists of an additional overwing exit door, which raises the current maximum exit limit so operators can make even more use of the available cabin floor space. When this new option is combined with the SpaceFlex aft cabin configuration, the A321neo can accommodate up to 236 seats. That's 16 seats more than today's maximum seating. A second new option is available, whereby the forward exit is deactivated. This creates a seamless, undivided forward cabin, allowing additional seats and even more flexibility in multi-class seat arrangements. This option will be of particular use in longer-range markets, where high comfort standards are needed in premium class. Airbus claims the A320 family offers the widest cross-section in the single-aisle aircraft market, with the Airbus standard 18-inch wide seat in economy class. 18 inches? My computer monitor is wider than that. When Aero News continues, what's needed is an X to mark the spot. Their purple wings are being grounded, and Jonathan Livingston Seagull will soar again.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, January 22nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. If there are 124 Supermarine Spitfires buried in crates in Burma, they're not going to be found easily. Initial excavations of three sites where the airplanes were thought to be placed underground as World War II was drawing to a close have so far turned up no evidence of the iconic warplanes. The BBC reports that while archaeologists say that they are no longer convinced that the evidence supports the theory that there are planes buried in Burma, the driving force behind the effort to find them is still convinced they're there. They just haven't looked in the right place. David Kundall, the British farmer who spent nearly two decades in search of the Spitfires, said he is frustrated but determined to continue looking for the airplanes said to be buried at the end of the war. Linda Meeks, president of the Girls with Wings Pilot Shop and Very Important Pilots LLC, wrote on her blog last week that after much consideration and mounting losses, she is closing the Girls with Wings Pilot Shop. Meeks writes that she created the clothing line because she found very little in the way of merchandise for female pilots. She bought a $2,500 embroidery machine and began a grassroots marketing program, booking exhibit space at shows like AirVenture and Oshkosh. Now, with booth space at an aviation show that can cost north of several thousand dollars, plus routine business expenses, Meeks says she simply can no longer subsidize the line and is offering clearance prices on the inventory she still has in stock. She does hope to reopen under a new structure, but gave no timeline for that to occur. She also stressed that the Girls with Wings nonprofit organization will continue to operate as it always has. The accident, which reportedly nearly killed him, has at least in part inspired author Richard Bach to complete what is certainly his best-known work. Bach was seriously injured in an accident in his Easton Sea Ray amphibious airplane last August 31st. He hit power lines flying near Friday Harbor Airport and went down. Bach had to be airlifted to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. While recovering, with his ex-wife Sabrina Bach, his almost constant companion, the 76-year-old author has written the final chapters in his inspirational story and international bestseller, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and he's sent it to the printers. Bach told the Seattle Times that the story was originally conceived in four parts, but he completed only three. In the fourth part of the novella, Jonathan goes from an object of worship on the part of the flock to a myth, but then represents a message of hope when he returns to the flock. Rob Bach, one of Richard's sons, told the paper he would like to see his father flying again. He said the family plans to rebuild the Sea Ray, but Richard said it was too soon to know whether he would ever fly his airplane, nicknamed Puff, again. So I'm curious, if Part 4 becomes a bestseller, do you think there'll be a new Jonathan Livingston Seagull movie? Or maybe a soundtrack sequel album by Neil Diamond? I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.